Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Good morning, everyone. I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome everyone in here on this bright, sunshiny morning. And I think the prognosticators at the weather department said it may get up in the 60s today, so look like it'll be a nice day to maybe get some things done. And I know we're going to try to get a few things done here this morning. Dr. Doug Young's with me this morning. We're going to be talking about a whole bunch of things. This was a rough day trying to find gas. Everybody lined up, had some kind of emergency came up, we got a standby this morning.
So when you can't find anybody, he calls me.
Well, now it's not hardly that bad. Well, I mean, of course, the county mayor, he's under the weather right now. He's had his hip replaced, and so I couldn't run to him, and I called Mary Lloyd over to the museum, went at her in a while, and she's got some company coming in to work on her sign out front, and she wants to be there to see for sure how they rewire that thing so she don't have to call them no more. And the health department folks couldn't make it in. I think they had some stuff they had to do. So we just, but we've got a whole bunch of things to talk about, various things. And we'll be doing that here just in a little bit. But first of all, I forgot to welcome everyone in this morning since we've come intruding into your kitchen where you're enjoying your second or third cup of coffee. But it's a pleasure being able to do this here each Thursday morning here on the Clay County Corner on WVFB FM 101.5 Kids Country. And, of course, we come to you through the auspices of the Three-Star Committee, downtown folks, Chamber of Commerce, all the folks over there, and also, very importantly, all the people that advertise with us to make sure that this keeps happening. And let's see, a little bit more housekeeping. We're going to be giving away a birthday cake here in a little bit. Haven't got very many names. Only got a couple of names today. I don't know where the answering machine's out of order or nobody didn't have any birthdays this week. Sometimes weeks come up that way, but we'll be giving one of those birthday cakes here in a few minutes. And let's see what else we got before we... I tell you what, let's just take a little short break, come back, and we'll talk a little bit about basketball. And we've got a couple of important things to talk about. We've got a big fishing contest coming up here, a national fishing contest. Got to talk about some grants that are available, some that we've already gotten. So we'll be back here just in a few minutes.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Let's face it, we are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Back, everyone. As I said earlier, it's indeed a pleasure to be here this morning. And like I said, we've got sunshine out this morning, and I think the weather folk are saying we're going to have nice weather here for quite a few days. And we've got a whole bunch of things to talk about this morning. I know we've got our basketball teams that are doing real, real well in postseason play. I know last night our girls played in the regional finals up at Clark Range, Tennessee, and they came out on the short end of it, but that doesn't end it down here. When you come in second in your region, that means that you get a little bit harder draw in the next round to make it on to the final eight down in Murfreesboro. And so they get to play, at least another game, and hopefully they can pull that one out and maybe make it all the way down to the final eight this year. But congratulations to them and Coach Walker and all the players, and hoping they can keep going. And then tonight at 7 o'clock, we'll be playing Pickett County, I believe for about the fourth time this year, to decide who is the region champion here. That will go on as the number one seed. And the number one seed this year has been extremely important, because if you're number one, you get to play at home through all this stuff. We didn't have, in a normal basketball season, we'd have a central tournament site and everybody gather in there and go to Cookeville or Livingston or somewhere, or Sparta or somewhere or another, and get together. But this year, they've all been at like individual games at the schools. And so this winning now would give you a home court advantage all the way up to the final eight teams. So this is a big, important game tonight. It starts at 7 o'clock, and we are selling tickets to the general public up to a certain amount, and I think they're like $6. And we do kind of recommend that you practice social distancing and wear that mask, but I'd like to invite everyone that wants to come out tonight and take a look at that. And then let's see, you want to talk about the Cumberland Saints historic byway for a few minutes?
We could do that. That's exciting.
I've got our old website that we've had up for about 8 or 10 years up here, and
it's taken long enough to get that through the bureaucracy.
Yes, it has, but we finally made it. I think we kind of knocked on doors, knocked on heads for years and years, and I think someone down at the Department of Transportation finally looked across the fact that about 10 years ago, we'd done about a quarter million geological, economic study and everything on this thing that's called the Cumberland Historic Byway, that runs from here in Salina up to Cumberland Gap over in East Tennessee. And the nice thing about this is, I'm looking here at the at some of the things on this, and right now I'm actually looking for the map on this thing, the route that this thing goes. I'm not sure exactly where it is, but it starts here in Salina, and it goes from Salina over to Livingston on Highway 52, then Highway 52 up to Byrdstown. And historically, of course, Byrdstown claims to be the birthplace of Nobel Peace Prize winner Cordell Hull, whose home is actually Salina, Clay County, but we'll not get into that this morning. And then this route went on down the highway to up through Static. And if you've ever watched the Sergeant York film, you know what Static is. That's the place where moonshine was legal on one side of the establishment up there and illegal on the other. And a lot of the rowdy folks went up there, including Sergeant York before he tamed himself down a little bit. And I know Dr. Young spent a number of years up and goes down by his birthplace and I think, that, of course, that is now, there's a state park there, and it's historic byway. And along that line, it starts at a historic place, and that is the historic Clay County Courthouse here in Salina, which is listed on the National Site of Historic Places. Tell us a little bit about there in Fentress County. There's a couple of spots there, Dr. Young.
Well, in Fentress County, the first biggie you come to would be Sergeant York's home place. And Sergeant York's home place is now a state park. You can tour his home. You can go through the mill. And it's just a real neat thing. Once upon a time, I had the opportunity to take a big screen TV down to the picnic pavilion and show the Sergeant York movie to Sergeant York's family. And couldn't start till after dark, and this was the summertime, and I sat right beside Miss Gracie. And,
that's
Sergeant York's wife. And you could hear a pin drop. You know, that's a long movie. And I just felt like I could almost hear his footsteps coming around that little creek that runs down through there. I think they call that Wolf River, where the mill is. But that was a real interesting deal. And then on up on top of the mountain, there's some interest up there, too. The Mark Twain Park is up there. Samuel Clemens was conceived in Fentress County, but born in Missouri. His mom and dad moved out of Fentress County. His dad, I think, was the tax assessor or trustee or some office like that, and had bought a tremendous amount of land up there for a dime an acre. And but of course Samuel Clemens went on to be Mark Twain, and he made a name for himself, to say the least. And when his dad was on his deathbed, he told Samuel, "Don't ever forget the land in Fentress County." Well, I think he did forget it. And then Clemens ran into some money problems later in life, and he wishes he'd have remembered that land at that time. But I don't think he kept the taxes up on it, and it went to somebody else. Then when you go a little farther east, you run into Rugby. And that's an interesting place. I served on their board for a while. That was a bunch of second sons, they were called. In England, the first son inherits everything. And when the old folks pass away, and the second son and the rest of them don't get anything. Well, those second sons decided to come to America, and they came to landed somehow in between Fentress County and Morgan County, and set up a utopian society. They were out tending their crops with suit and ties on. They didn't really know how to rough it in that wilderness at that time. And if it hadn't been for those folks who settled that part of the country, those English folks might have starved to death that first and second winter. But it's been preserved now, and it's an interesting place to visit. They have several of their buildings open, their library open, a commissary, and their restaurant recently burned, but somebody told me that they were building it right back. And then you go on down to the end of Highway 52. That's in Elgin, Tennessee. And Thomas, I'll let you kick in right there.
Well, I'm looking here. They're also up there at the, we forgot the R.M. Brooks General Store.
Yes, we passed by it on the way to Rugby. And something that's kind of special to me, you pass by the Alvin C. York Agricultural Institute. This is a school that Sergeant York started in 1926 for the kids who lived on that mountain who had not had the chance, like he did not have the chance to go to school. And he put together a school and raised the financing on his own and was able to finance it for the first several years until the Depression hit, and then the state had to step in, and they saved the school and started funding it at that time, and they're still funding it today.
Okay, now we're now ready to leave Highway 52 for a little while and get on Highway 27, and that would be...
That's 127. No, that's 27 over there.
127
right.
Goes to Jamestown.
Yeah.
And you know, looking through that, we see, like I said, there's some of the historic sites in each one of the places. We're now in Scott County. And of course, Scott County was the home of our representative here for a long time. And I believe I also was a U.S. Senator from Scott County that we had. What was his name?
Howard Baker.
I believe gained a little notoriety during the Nixon deal. And
he was Reagan's chief of staff.
Yeah. And also, if you ever went up there many years ago, there was a nice long landing spot up there where Howard Baker could land his jet plane in Scott County. There wasn't hardly enough room to land one, but they did. But also, there in that area in Robbins, Tennessee, which is another one of the old towns up in there, has Robbins Chapel there, and then the old Scott County Jail there in Huntsville. And looking on down through, I mean, there's a whole bunch of listings here. There's a Laureldale Cemetery. That's back down at Rugby, though, isn't it?
One interesting thing up there, Thomas, is the county seat, Huntsville, is just a very, very small town. The big town in that county is Oneida. And Oneida's big enough that they have their own school district.
Right. They have the county and the school.
And they've got a Walmart, and they've got all the big stores and all that, but they're not the county seat.
And I think, now, what is the name of the athletic building over at UT? That's named after the gentleman that was in the lumber business up there. That was a big, big-time lumber business. Had a railroad station there.
Pemberton.
No, it's one of the guys.
There were two
names on one of the athletic buildings up at UT, and his name's on there, but all the contributions he made. But I know some of the first of the, like, we've got the Honest Abe here, one of the first log home companies was up there in that area. So,
that was Barney, Tim Barney.
Right.
Barna, not Barney.
But, and then I guess the next county up is Campbell County, and I know they have, a bunch of stuff up there, some old houses, there's just all kinds of things that along the highway up there. And if you've never taken this drive, you know, it takes at least a day to make this drive up that way. And it's just a tremendous, tremendous thing to do. And then you finish up in Claiborne County. And Claiborne County... is there at the end of it, and it's at the Cumberland Gap. And if you've never heard of the Cumberland Gap, you weren't in my history class. And Dr. Young's when he had one of them. But, they have, I believe, now they have a connection to Abraham Lincoln up there. And I'm not sure exactly what that connection is, but I guess his folks lived up there for a while. Until they moved to Clay County, we've always said
we claim that.
So when you taking a look at that, just think about that this trail, and I'm sure it's probably fallen by basically the same wagon trail that family would have followed coming from Cumberland Gap down here, and also what Lincoln Memorial University is up there. But
and to explain that, somebody discovered that there was a gap in those mountains up there. And the settlers could flow through that gap and not have to go over a mountain to get down to the Tennessee country. And so settlers just poured through that Cumberland Gap.
Right, and of course the Cumberland, which is the Cumberland River and all that, you know, have we ever talked about the history of that name? Lord Cumberland, that had a great big land grant there from the royal family in England, and I think there was a bunch of other names that they had for that, but that's also a trip that you need to take up there and spend some time there in the Cumberland Gap National Park, and there's also a little town off Cumberland Gap up there. So this is a great thing, and now let's go over just a little bit and let's talk about, there are now six national roads in Tennessee. This was the sixth one. And some of them I know, some of you have probably driven, probably most of them or parts of all of them. One of them is the Chirhalla Skyway, which is over in the Smoky Mountains. And then there's one called the East Tennessee Crossing that runs across Upper East Tennessee. than the Great River Road. Now, if you've never looked up on the Great River Road, the Great River Road basically follows the Mississippi River from its headwaters down to where it goes into the ocean. And it has a big, big, well-traveled road. And then the other one is one I know we've all heard of and most of us have all traveled on, and that is the Natchez Trace Parkway, which, you know, is nationally famous. Then there's another one called the Woodlands Trace. And now we have joined in with six, and I think there are only 150 of these designated highways throughout the United States.
Now, wasn't one of them Sequatchie? You didn't mention Sequatchie.
It's not on the national.
Oh, I thought it made it.
No, it didn't. I think they just did one this year.
Okay.
Hey, they have, Dr. Young. Well, I'm not sure on that.
We'll look that up.
We'll find out on that.
Because I think I've lived on three of them. And I've lived in Sequatchie County and Bledsoe County and then out in Lake County.
Now, they're on the state scenic byway.
Okay.
And, you know, there are, we were at the top of the list on that one. And there are some of those, the Great Smoky Mountain Byway, the Newfound Gap Road, which most of us have taken at one time or other. He said the Sequatchie Valley and the Tennessee River Trail, and then also Walton Road, which is kind of connected into us. But like I said, and I think the word that we kind of got on that was that they only choose a new road about once every 8 or 10 years.
Now, the Walton Road runs through Putnam County and into Jackson County on the cross, right?
Right, right. And that's one that hopefully that will get placed on this. But, you know, this is...
But did those folks, the settlers who came down the Walton Road, did they not come through the Cumberland Gap?
Yes. I mean, that was...
And they just swung wider.
Right. There was a connection there. But, you know, this is... it's a very, very important thing for the city of Salina, Clay County. And I said, we are either the beginning or the end of this. And now when folks go online and search these national roads, this one's going to come up, and we are going to see hopefully quite a bit of an increase in tourist traffic, because lots of people now with the pandemic stuff going on, you know, they're not going a lot of places a long way off, or if they do go a long way off, they will make them around and go through as many of these national byways as they can that are connected.
And it's interesting, Tom, just north of Cumberland Gap, there's another road, the Great Wilderness Road, I think. And maybe one more that takes us all the way to Philadelphia.
I think is it called the Freedom Highway?
Something like that. So you can get on a historic highway in Philadelphia and come all the way to Salina, Tennessee. But it ends at Salina. Or you can start in Salina
and
end in Philadelphia.
But, well, I tell you what, I think we covered that pretty good.
Yep.
We want to just let folks know how important this was for us for this to take place. With that, we're going to take a little short break. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk about some of our local happenings here in and around Salina and Clay County through the Chamber of Commerce. We'll be back just in a minute.
Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why Macon Bank and Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy-to-use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed. And you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Macon Bank and Trust. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Back, everyone. I'm going to begin this time by reading. We got only got two names for our cake drawing today. We'll flip a coin for this one here. And I'm not sure if it's Adelie or Natalie Cunningham. I listened to it a couple, three times, but her Nana and Pa called in to wish her a happy birthday for her fourth birthday. And then we had the other call in was Ms. Holly Crawford and her future grandmother-in-law called that one in to wish her a happy birthday. And we'll be drawing one of those here after a while. But now, Dr. Young, I know you've got some things that you want to, as soon as the ambulances get by.
That didn't sound good. Yeah, Thomas, I've got a couple of things to mention here. One is we've got a crappie tournament coming up soon. It's a regional tournament. And looking at their advertising here, it's a $165,000 tournament. That's a lot of money. And I think in this district, it may just be a $25,000 tournament. I don't know for sure, but
I think that's the total point winner, isn't it?
We have a lot of crappie fishermen, I understand, coming to Dalhalla. I've tried it, but I never could get in a nest. I did one time, and boy, you just fill your boat up in a hurry. But I think there's a limit on it now.
Well, the Game and Fish folks along that line, I'll just interrupt real quickly, had a little thing posted where they, you know, with all of the evergreen trees, cedar trees,
yeah,
things that
yeah.
came down, they had had their cement blocks ready with their cables to them, and they have been sinking those cedar trees all over Dalhalla Lake to make bait places for more crappie.
That crappie on crappie tournament on Dalhalla will be April 3rd. Be running out of Dalhalla Marina, Cedar Hill Marina, one of those. I think is Dalhalla Marina. And if you're a local fisherman, get involved in that. And Thomas, let's talk just a second about this new team. It's relatively new. We have a fishing team. We talk about football and basketball and all these other things, but we don't mention the fishing team much. And now you can actually get scholarships on to college for fishing. Boy, Billy Westmore would have eaten that up.
Yes, he would. And, you know, I think there's maybe one little drawback right now. I'm not sure how much of one it is, and that is the boat sponsorship. And, you know, that's willing to, some adult that's willing to go out and take the two students and kind of be their boat coach, but mainly to have an adult in the boat with them. And I don't know where we have enough boats yet to, you know, for the number of young men and young ladies that want to take part in this.
I was contacted about a week ago about that, somebody that wants to do that. And we'll get them hooked up with the high school and then see if we can't make that happen.
And I just saw that the Overton County team was fishing in a tournament down in Florida last week.
I wonder what the season is, or if they have a season. They may just run all year.
I think they have a number of like national tournaments, and of course I think they have some local ones too here in Tennessee. And to qualify for some of the major, you have to maybe fish so many of the national events and the state events to, you know, to qualify for these things.
Well, that's exciting to me because I was afraid that we were going to have a bunch of young folks growing up who stayed on the computer games and didn't have the opportunity to get out and hunt and fish. And maybe this will give them that opportunity to get out and wet a line and catch a fish. And I know that can be exciting. My first year teaching at Union Hill Elementary School, I found out when they were putting those little fingerlings in the Obie River. And I brought some of the boys and later the girls, too, home with me. And we could put some whole kernel corn on a hook. And they'd hit it immediately. And boy, those little kids just had a fantastic time with that. And now those little kids are old men and women. But if any of them are listening out there, I'm sure you can remember having a good time catching fish.
Personally, I can remember that. And, you know, and that's, too, another thing, you know, up at the fish hatchery, we have probably one of the best unnatural trout streams. Now, that is a stream of water that comes out of the hatchery up there. And I think some of the guys that work up, I think every Thursday, they turn loose a bunch of, you know, catchable-sized trout and, of course, the fly fishermen, everybody there. And I know they say sometimes when they're a little bit late getting the fish in, there's nearly a rebellion down there in the summertime waiting on those fish to hit the water. But if you've never walked through there and taken a look at that, they just... The opportunities are just totally unlimited for things to do here in this county.
We have people who travel for miles and miles to visit the fish hatchery. I just wonder what percentage of the local people who live in Clay County have taken the fish hatchery tour.
You know, I don't know. I haven't in a long time. But, you know, it's not as easy. We can't do it right now.
Yeah.
But I know we have quite a bit of that. And, you know, when graduate from college and you look around and you see the wage scale here in Clay County, and you look around and you say, well, you know, I can earn back when we started maybe $25,000-$30,000 a year if we were really, really lucky. And you look down through there and you say, golly, I get to go live somewhere where people come and pay $2,000 a week just to stay here for
yeah.
a week, and I get to stay here all year.
And, Thomas, we have lots and lots of people who are now retiring to Clay County and Jackson County and Overton County. They just love it in these mountains. And they are moving out of those cities, and here we are going in the opposite direction. We're going to the cities and leaving this fantastic country.
Well, a whole lot of us aren't.
Right. We stayed at home.
But, you know, it's kind of... The attractions that are attracting people here are the things that we have taken for granted our entire lives.
Yeah, just one day last week, just at one time, we had, in one day, we had three retired couples to come by the chamber asking for information. And we don't normally have three a day, but we have lots of people who do settle in here. There was one guy out there this morning that's come to Clay County and started a business and bought a home and settled in here. And we need those folks. They come in and build new homes and get on the tax rolls and help support our schools and help support our government. And so we need all of those folks that we can get.
Well, you know, we're wondering now, are we going to have a gradual increase in new homes being built here, or is it going to be gradual for a little while, and then all these folks that are buying these lake lots around Dale Hollow Lake are going to come in here within like an 8 or 10 year period of time when they all retire and at about the same age? Because I got a feeling most of the folks buying here now are somewhere in between probably 35 to 45 years old, and anywhere from 12, 15, 20 years from retirement. And I know some of them would probably come in, you know, and start those homes. But, you know, we could have a boom here when a whole bunch of those folks retire in a 5 or 10 year period.
And, well, right now in the city limits of Solana, very few homes are on the market. You put up a home for sale, and you better want to sell it because it's not going to stay on the market long.
But we're not building much right now inside, are we?
In the city limits of Solana in the last 20 years, we have built so few homes. I was talking to somebody the other day, and it's just hard to think of one. I think we came up with one or two that's been built in the last 20 years.
But I'm wondering, you know, are there available building spots within the city limits now?
I think there are. There's still plenty of lots.
It seems like a lot of folks don't want to sell those right now.
They don't. That's it. They want to hang on to them. And, well, maybe they don't want to hang on to them. We think that because they priced them so high that they're hanging on to them, but we have people who are paying that for lots.
And, you know, like I said, this is going on, you know, throughout the entire community here because I know usually weekly or at least biweekly I'll check the real estate thing in one of the local papers, and there's lots of strange names in there. There's still some local inter trading of properties here in the county, but most of real estate sales there are from names we're not familiar with.
I was reading yesterday's paper, Thomas, and I started to count them and didn't, but I just read them out loud or tried to. Most of those names I couldn't pronounce. But they're welcome in Clay County, and if they're listening out there, come by the chamber and we'll fix you up with some information and a map of the county and try to treat you right.
Okay, with that, let's take a little short break, work in a few words from our sponsors, and we'll be back just in a few minutes.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Welcome back, everyone. Once again, here with Doug Young, Dr. Doug Young, and he is was in the midst a minute ago talking about the crappie tournament. We're looking forward to that. And I don't know if we've got any. I know we have our local tournaments up on the lake just about every night of the week. Nighttime fishing on Del Hall Lake is something that's a big deal.
Now, Coach Temple's and I used to go night fishing. He had a houseboat up there, and we'd just leave the houseboat up there for several days and go up in the afternoons after school. And, you know, we never did catch a good mess of fish. But we had a good time talking and a good trip. There are other marinas out there. So far, I mentioned the Del Hollow Marina and Cedar Hill Marina. If any of the marinas are listening and they'd like to participate with the Chamber of Commerce, we're there for you, and we'll work with you in any way that we can. We sent an email out to all of them and asked them if they wanted to participate in some things. And Cedar Hill Marina and Del Hollow Marina got right back to us, and we didn't hear from the others. And so we're doing some interesting things with those two marinas. And we're hoping that this year will even break last year. And I think last year was almost a record on Del Hollow for the number of tourists that came in. We had tourists from lots of the Middle Tennessee area, not just Ohio and Illinois and Kentucky, but all of Middle Tennessee. Instead of taking long vacations, and they knew that they could distance and get on that lake, and they kept coming.
And, you know, and also before the pandemic came in, I think we were kind of going to try to establish some different kinds of tournaments up there. And one in particular I remember was the kayak bass tournament, where you fished out of a paddle kayak. You know, and I think that's been kind of put on hold since all this, which is a very interesting way to fish and getting back to a lot of basics.
I'm afraid that would turn into swimming for me. I can just see casting out there and zip that kayak
and get all excited and jump up.
I was over. I took my Explorer Scouts down the Obi River once, and we had the canoes, and they all had canoes. We had enough from the district office for them, eight of them. And then my partner and I, Franklin Poindexter, borrowed one, and it was just about like a splinter. And I gave those Explorer Scouts a safety talk, got them started down the river. Looked like an Indian tribe going down through there. And then Franklin and I climbed in that last canoe. And we hadn't gone 100 yards until Franklin saw the biggest rainbow trout he had ever seen. And he said, "Look," and pointed. And when he did that, zip. And let me tell you, that water right below the dam is cold in July. And the laughter from some fishermen that were on the bank, and then of course the boys horse laughed us. That was a bunch of good guys back in those days.
Okay, what we got up next from over the chamber? We got something else.
We got one other thing. Right now we've got a membership drive going on, and you don't have to be a business to join the Chamber of Commerce. Individuals can join. We have memberships from $25 up, and with the membership you get a bag full of sesquicentennial masks, and you know those would cost, I'd say, a minimum of $5 a piece. So, and you'd get at least five of those in the basket.
Get your money back right off.
And then the members will be invited to a Chamber of Commerce dinner late in the year, and so those would be those tickets would be about $20 a piece. And you get two of them, so you get your money back pretty quick. But we'd like to urge all the business people, particularly, to join the Chamber of Commerce. All the money that we collect in membership dues goes into promoting Clay County. None of it goes into salary, and that allows us to get some good advertising for Clay County and some really good promotions out there. So if you haven't joined yet, email us at the chamber, drop by the chamber, call us at the chamber, and we've sent out application forms, we think, to all the businesses in Clay County, all that we have the emails on. And if you're not getting our newsletter or you've not gotten information about the membership drive, if you will call us and let us have your email address, we'll put you on the list. Our newsletter now that's going out includes information about various state, federal, regional programs that might benefit your business.
Okay, can I throw something out
sure.
there you know, about the chamber? The chamber's not like all chambers, but something I wanted to talk, just something hit my mind here now, is with this byway that we're going to be doing some more developing on that website. And one of the things that we really, really need from here in Clay County is some feedback from folks of some interesting things that they think tourists coming through here would like to see. It doesn't have to be some big famous place. It could be just a drive down to Brimstone, a drive up the Moss, up to Moss, through the Arcot Moss Road. Folks, you don't realize how important things like that are. Just drives that could be taken, things that could be done, sites to be seen. If you know of a particular place somewhere where you can drive to see a great scenic spot somewhere here that's public land that you don't have to get on private property and things like that. Those are the kind of things that we're going to be needing because, you know, if we've got all these people coming through this county, we've got to give them a reason to stop. And that, I mean, they're looking for places like that, places where they can go out and see deer, or where they can see wild turkey, where they can see a little waterfall, where they can stick their feet in a creek. These are the type of things that these people are looking for. And we need, you know, just to kind of canvas this county and get feedback from everyone around of things, like I said, the interesting places that you know of that someone that's never been here before might want to go see.
My wife and I have done a lot of that, Thomas. We've made several trips through Brimstone and on down through Big Bottom, following the Cumberland River all the way down to Gainesboro. You come out just almost in Gainesboro. And then we've made the trip up Kettle Creek and across the ferry. And then going up Mill Creek, they call it Dry Mill Creek now. It used to be called Dry Creek. and you're driving along that creek all the way up through there, and I'll guarantee you take one of those four trips and you'll see.
We're on this byway when we get to Livingston. You know, we direct people over to the Hillham Road. We had them to come down the Hillham Road through Hillham and take a right there and either come through the park or come down Baptist Ridge. I mean, some of the most beautiful scenery anywhere in the world.
We're opening the gate to see if we can't get something going with Standing Stone State Park. Standing Stone State Park is 7 miles from Salina. It's 13 miles from Livingston. So we want to see if we can't influence some of those tourists that are camping there. They have a huge campground over there, and then they have all the cabins. We want to get them into Salina shopping and get them out on this lake and get them to coming back every year. That's an opportunity for us that we think we can make happen.
You know, like I said, there are just so many things here in this county to see that folks don't know about, and a lot of folks even in our own county here don't know about some of these scenic spots. You know, like you said, the drive going over to the ferry. I mean, that's beautiful cross country up through Turkey Neck Bend. Well, what in the world is a Turkey Neck Bend?
And when you drive through Turkey Neck Bend, it's interesting to note that you see very few houses. The houses are gone. I imagine that they weren't very well built to start with, and the property that they were sitting on was more valuable, or maybe they just didn't build them down in the floodplain of the river. I don't know. But you see very few houses, and in the summer, you see corn and you see hay, and it's just a beautiful sight down through there. And lonesome, but so few people live down in that area.
Let's get back to serious business.
Okay.
This is not serious, but...
We can do a little bit of talking while we're on the subject of things to see. There's a bit of history. When I retired, I started writing a book, and 50 Miles on the Cumberland. And then I started volunteering at the Chamber of Commerce, and I hadn't got back to the book. But along with Mark Dudney, we intend to get back to that book one of these days and talk about all these towns up and down the Cumberland River that were once... good-sized towns for their time. And one of them, of course, was Butler's Landing. I know something about Butler's Landing. They had two big stores there, and in 1939, Ed Young's store burned, but that still left one big store, and Ed's brother opened up a smaller store then. And they had a mill, a blacksmith shop, a medical doctor, a hotel. They had warehouses where... the steamboats would pull into the mouth of those two creeks that ran together, and the steamboat could pull in there and unload their freight and be out of the current of the river. And so people came down from as far away as Jamestown and got freight. I've been told that once some guy had a concession, he had oxen, and for a price, he'd take your wagon down to Butler's Landing, load it for you, pull it back up that hill, then you could hitch your mules to it, and you might make Livingston by dark. And that was just as a matter of fact, Butler's Landing just missed being the county seat by one vote. And then you and I were talking the other day, we wonder at Brimstone if they didn't have some stores over there.
You know, because that there where Brimstone Creek comes in, there's always been, you know, boat landings and things there. And, you know, and if you get thinking, there aren't, I don't know of any landings that we've talked about that are on the other side of the river. And, you know, I don't know if the steamboats came up and landed, any of them ever docked on the other side of the river. And, you know, there has to be, because, you know, that road had to come down through there from over in the Moss area for some reason, down and, you know, terminate right there at the river. So I'm thinking somewhere along the line that there had to be a wharf there and maybe a warehouse of some kind or other. But so far we haven't run across anybody that knows much of the early history of the Brimstone area down in there.
I think down in that area, when you get on down into Big Bottom, those bottoms were probably flooded every year. And so the landings ended up on the other side of the river because that's where the mountains were, right. Like here in Salina. If you tried to have a landing on the other side, you'd have some of those big bottoms over there covered up. But that phenomenon is history, interesting all the way down through there. The history of that river and the commerce it brought in here.
McFarland Creek, where it comes into the river.
Yeah.
You know, those are just, there's so many things there that we better get to doing what research we can. And
we need to document those river towns because mine and your generation may be the last generation that has knowledge about those towns. You know, on down in Tinsley's Bottom, just across the hill from Butler's Landing, but there was a big mountain there. So they had a store there, and they had something akin to Montbell Academy. It was called the Polymath Academy. And it would have been like a high school in today's day's world, except it was a private school. And the first federal judge appointed from Tennessee graduated from that school and later became a law partner of Cordell Hull. And you'd never expect a school like that to be located in Tennessee's Bottom.
And you know, one of the more famous landings, of course, it's just across the state line here, and that was McMillan's Landing.
Yes.
Which was a very, very important landing for us here because I think one of the things we talked about earlier here, back in the days of the riverboats, the number one export in Clay County was poultry at that time. And, you know, most stuff here would go down the river, but poultry went up the river here. So, you know, and so I thought that was kind of interesting. And also I think that one of the first satellite Coca-Cola bottling places was at up around McMillan's Landing, where they brought the syrup up the river, and they had a bottling plant there where they mixed it with the seltzer water and stuff. And I think there are maybe still a few of the old antique bottles in existence of that soft drink. And I'm not sure if it was called Coca-Cola then, but it was the forerunner of the Coca-Cola company.
Well, Thomas, if we go back just 100 years to 1921, and look at the differences we see today, that would have been in my dad's time. He was born in 05, and so he could remember well when they didn't have a bridge across the country. And that bridge didn't happen until 1929, and so that really separated Clay County. And then the Cumberland River runs right through the middle of Clay County, no bridge. Jackson County, no bridge. On down through Smith County, no bridge. And I imagine they had bridges by the time you got to Davidson County.
Of course, we had the ferry boats here that, you know, ferried people across. But when we put the bridge in, we had a pretty hefty price.
Yeah.
To come across the
toll
bridge. We charged folks to come to Salina to spend their money.
And
instead of encouraging them, we were charging them to get in.
But all that needs to be documented, and so people can understand. So when those people are coming down through the new Cumberland trail and start here and end here, they can see what it looked like 100 years ago, 150 years ago, even 200 years ago.
You know, it's amazing just to think of, you know, all the history. And, of course, now we have done a pretty good job this year in the county of kind of inspiring some folks to get out some old family albums and to go through old chests and things like that and find pictures, because I know, of course, with social media now, there's hardly a day goes by that someone doesn't either come out with a picture they found, and a whole lot of them come over and say, does anybody here recognize anyone in this picture? You know, my grandma's in the middle, but I don't know who all the rest of these people are.
You know, Melissa White and her sesquicentennial team had lots and lots of events planned this year that we had to cancel because of the virus. And hopefully we can still, when the virus is over and done with and we put that to bed, maybe we can still do some of those events.
Well, we need to have a celebration for the 150th anniversary of the courthouse.
Yes, we do.
Which is coming up in 23, and maybe all this stuff will be cleared out. But probably not as grand as we were planning for this. But, you know, we do need to celebrate this old building. And along that line, I know we have finalized our grant
to hopefully we're going to be able to refurbish all of our old windows in the downstairs part of the courthouse this year. And we're still in the process with our Adopt a Window program. Just to kind of throw that out at folks, if you'd like to adopt a window in a group of people or a family or a business or whatever and have your name on a plate that will forever be here in the courthouse, we'll have that all finalized here. We want to get some windows in so you can see exactly what you will be adopting, and we will take that. And also we're going to be doing that through the Historic Preservation Society Committee, which means it will be a tax-deductible deduction on that. And I know each one of the windows here, not counting our big grand window in the front, it's about $2,500 to take those things out and completely redo all the woodwork in them and save all the old original panes in here and put them back in. I know that that's a whole lot for a window, but it's not a whole lot for a window that's been here now for nearly 150 years. And we're looking forward to that. And I think we're about to get down toward the end of the program here. If you've got a quarter in your pocket, yeah, I'll let you flip a quarter. We'll pick out who wins the birthday
all
cake
right
today.
Well, heads.
Heads. Well, that would be number one, Adley or Natalie Cunningham.
All right.
And we'd go over by the chamber and pick up your coupon and go get your delicious birthday cake. And with that, I think I'm going to really surprise the folks and say, you know, we're going to finish maybe on time today and not get a voice in my ear and say, you're done. Let's see what the original time is. Oh, we still got 4 minutes.
I thought we did, Tom. I was going to mention something in the last.
All right.
We're always looking for volunteers at the Chamber of Commerce. And if we've got some people out there who like to work with the computer, you just rung my bell. We need to get us a website. Right now on Facebook, I'm seeing a lot of old pictures posted. We need a website with nothing but the old pictures, or maybe a Facebook page with nothing but the old pictures, and maybe have them categorized some way so you can look at a particular area or a particular time in history. And if somebody would like to run that, we'll find financing for it at the chamber.
Now, I think that page, the historical photographs are there. I think someone has started that page. I'm not sure who has. I'll see if I can find out on that. And if you're listening or you know of the person who has started that historical photos of Clay County, Facebook, have them get in contact with the chamber.
Yeah. And another one that we opened years ago, the Salina High School Alumni Association, something we're going to start doing on that one soon is all the composite pictures. A lot of people haven't seen those. And we're going to put 1 year at a time up and start putting those on that website. I don't know how that's going to turn out, but I think what you can do is maybe click on the picture, pull it up, and then you can blow it up and be able to see everybody. We're going to do something with that.
You know, that would be neat if some of the later ones, we could have a little center stool of history there when they bring it up down under there.
Yes, no yes. Problem.
Okay, now what are we about done now?
We're about done. It's awful to get we two old guys in here, Thomas. We can reminisce and we can talk about history, but people need to remember that history. It's an important thing in Clay County that we remember what was happening 100 years ago and even 150 years ago.
Well, you know, that the word ancient or old, we need to change that and make it all current. You know, it's current if people know about it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to happen today to be a current event. But if it's known today and kept alive, it's still current to us and it still means something to us. With that, I guess it is time we shut the doors here. We've got most of the livestock put back in the barn here. We'll shut the door. I'll turn the heat down a little bit. It's been nice and warm in here this morning, and we'll invite you to come back next week here at this same time, same channel, here on WVFB FM 101.5 Kicks Country. And we will see you then, and may the good Lord bless and keep you until we do. And with that, good day, Clay County.